I'm from Portland, Oregon. Portland is one of the major cities in Multnomah County. Multnomah County is the county in Oregon with the most dense population. We have a population of about 700,000 people. I'm going to talk about ensuring access to STD screening treatment and partner services. Desired outcome is to understand how our STD prevention and treatment program use local epidemiology and population-based public health practices to ensure access to services and hopefully to influence local morbidity. Oops, wrong. We use the processes outlined on the screen to identify priorities and ensure access to services. This process began in 2001 in response to increasing STD rates and impending budget cuts, and we continue it annually. Also, in 2001, we had received a lot of complaints from clients, staff, and community groups saying that we weren't providing the right services to the right people. We had people that would come in two or three days in a row, wouldn't get seen. By the time they did get seen, they were severely symptomatic for gonorrhea. They had sat in the waiting room all day, 3 days in a row. And when we looked back at our clinic log to see who we had seen, we found that at least half of the people we had seen were people with very low risk or no risk. DIS were frustrated that their cases and contacts weren't getting seen or treated. Community groups were complaining that disease was prevalent in their communities and they weren't able to get in. So we did a process of saying, well, what should we do and how should we do it? We also were facing impending budget cuts. Can't remember if I already said that, sorry. Through the strategic planning process, we identified a mission and core activities, identifying primary and secondary STD prevention activities that were likely to interfere with, that were likely to stop disease spread. We use the CDC POG as a major source of information and recommendations. Essential to our success was engaging staff, community, and clients. Local epidemiology. The next three slides are the local epidemiology. You've heard most of this already over the last couple days, but as was occurring nationally, gonorrhea rates and chlamydia rates were trending upward. This slide shows rates from 96 to 2002. In 96, 97, we had historically low STD rates after 20 years of declines. And then in 99, 2001, we saw increasing rates. In 2001 is when we began our strategic planning process, saying, well, what are we going to do to stop these rates from going back up? When we looked at the data more carefully, we saw that there were three groups that had major inequities in rates: people 24 and under, blacks, African Americans, and men who have sex with men. These inequities were longstanding and pronounced. Poverty, marginalization, stigmatization, and lack of access to screening and treatment are major factors influencing inequities, as you all know. We believe we can reduce the inequities by ensuring access and working with communities to address stigma and marginalization. In blacks, African Americans, the rates were 7 to 10 times higher for gonorrhea and chlamydia than for other groups. I show the rates for black African Americans in the top part for chlamydia and gonorrhea. I don't show the rates for white non-Hispanics, but the difference is 7 to 10 times. Cases in syphilis had been at a historic low in 1998 and were starting to increase in 2000 to 2002. In men who have sex with men who have sex with men are the other population most affected by gonorrhea and syphilis in Multnomah County. In 2001, cases in men who have sex with men accounted for cases of gonorrhea in men who have sex with men accounted for 26% of all reported cases and 40% of all cases in men. As across the U.S., a surge in syphilis cases occurred in 2000 and began in earnest in 2002. Later, I'll show the trends for 2002 to 2006. So, The slide on the top shows gonorrhea cases. All of them, the total number of cases is the top of the bar. Cases in men who have sex with men is the lower portion of the bar. And men who have sex with men are identified, either self-identified through the interview process or cases of rectal gonorrhea in men. Bottom slide, the bottom graph is syphilis. Essential part of our process of prioritizing services was to develop a mission statement. This served as a foundation for when we had to make decisions about how resources were allocated and what we would do. We had many differences in terms of who do we serve, when do we serve them, you know, what is important to do. And this mission statement really provided us a reference point for when we had to make difficult decisions. We used an evidence-based approach, combining the socio-ecological model with the recommendations in the CDC POG. We identified seven core functions listed on the left-hand side, incorporating primary and secondary activities and essential services. One element not listed that is in the POG is evaluation. We incorporate process evaluation throughout these areas. We don't have a separate evaluation unit. The next few slides will address how we ensured access to the priority populations through goal setting and redesign. Examples are going to be given for the three components of case investigation and partner services, early diagnosis and treatment and community work. This slide just summarizes our priorities. We decided our program priorities were investigate, provide partner services, evaluation and treatment for early syphilis, the populations with the greatest STD rate disparities and case disparities, and others as resources permit. We also do HIV partner services and HIV testing and HIV referral to care. Also, a core piece is developing and maintaining community-based collaboratives with the groups experiencing the greatest disparities, and this is very important for informing our work. On the left is the priorities for case investigation. On the right are goals. I've listed the partner services and community on the same slide. The partner services and the community work is staffed and led by the disease intervention specialists, so that's why this is on one slide. Our goal, we took the CDC's recommendation that stopping the spread of disease is a primary purpose. And one of the ways to do that is to find cases, to get them treated, to get their contacts evaluated and treated. So percent cases investigated, we wanted to do over 80% of HIV, 95% of early syphilis, 90% of priority gonorrhea, 50% of priority chlamydia, and increase our brought to exam index to greater than 8. We wanted to provide at least 2 education sessions or participate in community screening events with the communities most affected at least 2 per month. And we wanted to develop at least 2 collaboratives. For our clinical services, we went from having a walk-in system to a combined appointment and walk-in system. We had complaints continually from front desk staff who would have people walking in who wanted to be seen. They would sit in the waiting room for hours. They would continually say, "When am I going to be seen?" There were fights in the waiting room. People were very, there was unhappiness. By the time clients got back to clinicians, they were stressed out, unhappy. It did not make for a good work environment. It did not make for a good environment for helping people. So we wanted to be able to tell people when they could be seen. We wanted to see them in a timely fashion. We wanted to increase our productivity. We were seeing about 20% of visits were for giving HIV test results. There was this belief you couldn't give HIV test results over the phone. That accounted for a huge amount of taking up capacity. So we wanted to decrease that. And we wanted to have high satisfaction. We wanted people to come in, say they had a good visit, and we didn't want there to be any differences between groups. So how did we do, I'll talk about how we did that in a minute. Productivity, this is cases interviewed. We increased in all areas. HIV, we had been at 80%, we went up to 100%. Syphilis, we went up to 100%. This shows gonorrhea cases for all gonorrhea cases, and overall gonorrhea case interviews increased to 88%. When we look at priority cases, which are cases in people 24 and under, African Americans, and men who have sex with men, that rate is 94% at this time. By focusing on the groups with the greatest disparity, we were able to improve overall outcome. So. This talks about our clinic productivity. Oh, and I didn't talk about the community screening. Oops. I'll talk about the community collaboratives later. Sorry. This is our clinic services. These are a couple indicators of the results we had by redesigning our system. I don't think I said this earlier. One of the ways that we dealt with being able to get priority patients seen was to develop a system of intake at the front desk where we screen people for whether they were a priority patient. We did that with a questionnaire, and if the person walked in person, we would hand it to them. If they did it on the phone, we would read it to them. We had a series of questions that we asked, and I put some copies of them down in the front in case people want to look at it. We ask people, we say, tell us if you fit into any of the following, tell us if you meet any of the following criteria. Are you 24 and under? Did somebody ask you to come in? Are you having symptoms? And a list of symptoms is read out. Are you a man who has sex with men? Or were you referred in by one of these groups? And we have a list of community-based organizations and health department community workers that we list. If people, and we say, don't tell us which group you belong, that which criteria you meet, just say whether it's yes or no. If people answer yes, then we offer them an appointment. If they say no, we say, I'm sorry, we don't have any appointments available at this time. You're welcome to go on our standby list. If they're on the phone, you're welcome to come in and go on our standby list. Most days, we fill the appointment slots. About 30% of people don't show. And then when people go on the standby list, we're able to see almost everyone that same day. So. We also redesigned our clinic flow systems make sure, and our clinic intake, to make sure that it didn't take more than 6 to 10 minutes to check a person in. So we give a person 5 minutes to show up. They're told, if you're more than 5 minutes late, your appointment will be given to somebody else. And then that gives us 10 minutes to check a person in and still meet our criteria of seeing people within 15 minutes of when they have an appointment. We also redesigned our clinic visits and to focus specifically on STD evaluation and treatment. Before this, we had people doing a wide range of things, from family planning to domestic violence. I mean, whatever a person's particular interest is what they would focus on. So we did some processes where we redesigned the visit, we identified what we wanted to do, how long it would take, and what should be done during that visit. We focused on STD evaluation and treatment. We incorporated HIV and Hep C screening, vaccination for Hep A and B, and then in 2003, we added behavioral counseling. Visits are 30 minutes for men, 45 minutes for women, and the entire visit is done by the mid-level provider, a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner. What happened after we did that, redesigned our systems, we fill 80% of our slots on average. On the part left on the screen, our clinic productivity increased by 37%, and it's been maintained. In 2003, we redesigned our test results system for HIV, so people no longer needed to come in person. They could call on the phone and get the results. There's a poster session on that if you want more detail. Our clinic our clinic productivity increased, and we didn't have to spend 18% of our visits on test results. That shows FY06 is 4.7% of our visits for test results, and this past year it was 3.5. Use of our clinic by our priority groups increased for two out of the three groups. Men who have sex with men went from being 14% of the visits to about 23% of the visits. African Americans' use of the visit increased by 2%. And it went down in people 20 and under 24. We did some further analysis of the data, and it showed that people in the age group 19 and under were receiving services at the school-based health clinics. School-based health clinics are stationed throughout the county in about seven different sites, and people found it a lot more convenient to seek services in their neighborhood in an environment that was more youth-friendly. So. Satisfaction. We started measuring patient satisfaction in 2003. It was pretty good at that point. It has continued to improve. When I first started as manager in 2001, I would get two or three complaints every single day. Now we get about one complaint a quarter. So we get very few complaints. People rate services as excellent and good. There is no difference between groups. We've had it analyzed for age, gender, racial, ethnic groups, and have found no differences. And we have a good return rate. We have about a 75% return rate. We formed two community collaboratives, the African American Sexual Health Equity Program and the Sexual Health for Men Coalition. We started working on developing these coalitions and collaboratives in 2002. They've now come to a very strong place. They're essential for our prevention efforts. They help us understand cultural issues, develop and deliver culturally specific services, and they provide a means for sharing information. We're able to share information about what we're seeing with trends. People are able to tell us what they're experiencing in their communities, and it's a really nice place for some dialogue. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail now. People can ask me questions later if they want. Has it had an effect on morbidity? It's always hard to know. You know, do we affect rates? We'd like to think we do. For STDs in Black African Americans, from 2002 to 2006, rates went up for gonorrhea and chlamydia. However, they didn't go up as fast as they had in the period from 96 to 2001. And if we look at from 96 to 2006, they actually went down slightly. They went down, I think, by about 1%. So is that significant? I don't know. They've been going up in the rest of the West Coast. We'd like to think we've made a difference. Chlamydia rates went up as the same as others. You heard the thing earlier. Cases in syphilis, we've had no reported cases in 2006, and we had one case in 2007, but that data is preliminary. STDs in men who have sex with men, gonorrhea has come down 2006 and 2007. Syphilis has been coming down since 2003. And STD rates 2001, 2006 overall. Gonorrhea went up slightly, chlamydia went up about 5%, and syphilis has come down. So in summary, we think that prioritizing access, ensuring access, measuring, saying what you want to achieve, figuring out how you're going to measure it, and then following up and doing the continual process of looking at what you're doing and saying, is it the right thing, and making adjustments can have an effect on morbidity and inequities. So, thank you.
Okay. Why don't we take maybe one or two questions? Sir?
We give those over the phone as well. And we have a poster board, number 185, that goes into detail. We did quite a process of interviewing clients, interviewing community groups, interviewing staff, and saying, what would you need to make this doable? And we've since January of 2004 through February of 2008, we've had 150 people test positive. 146 people got their test results. The there were 10 people who didn't. Seven of them were people who tested anonymous.